This is Johnny Bergeson speaking to you on Gymkhana as part of the world's most complete course in horse training. How to train horses for cloverleaf barrel racing. The cloverleaf barrel race is a race against time, making a complete circle around three barrels which are set up in a triangular fashion. There is a barrel on the right, a barrel on the left, and a barrel in the far distance between the other two barrels. The two closest barrels are about 90 feet apart, the third barrel being about 105 feet from both of the other two barrels. Now, depending upon the size of the arena and the rules of the association, the barrels may be varying distances apart. This won't make a bit of difference in training your horse. You can see a diagram of a cloverleaf barrel pattern in the illustrated textbook. Usually when running a cloverleaf pattern, you have a choice of whether to circle the right barrel or the left barrel first. If you take the right barrel first, you will circle the first barrel in the right lead, and you will circle the remaining two barrels in the left lead. If you circle the left barrel first, you will of course circle the left barrel in the left lead, and you will circle the remaining two barrels in the right lead. Most riders choose the right barrel first. However, your choice should be made on whether your horse is right-leaded or left-leaded, just as a person is right-handed or left-handed. Most horses are left-leaded. That is to say, they generally prefer to canter in their left lead. Usually, they will also be able to turn more easily with a rider when they are in their favorite lead. You will attempt to teach your horse equally well in both leads. However, in the show ring, utilize your horse's natural abilities to his best advantage. If your horse is left-leaded, you will want to take the first barrel in the right lead, because this will enable you to take the two remaining barrels in the left lead. If your horse is right-leaded, you will want the left lead for your first barrel and the right lead for the next two. This procedure lets your horse run and turn in his best lead for the greatest length of time. In practice, the barrels should be run in both directions in order to build up your horse's weaker lead. Beginning of training. Your horse should be thoroughly familiar with barrels. The best method is for him to have been raised with a couple barrels in his pasture or corral. If he is at all leery of barrels, put a handful of grain on the tops of them. Your horse will soon look to barrels with eager expectation. You should allow him to eat this grain off the tops of the barrels. When he is thoroughly accustomed to barrels, you will teach him the cloverleaf barrel pattern by walking him through the course. In later lessons, you will trot, and still later, you will lope. But you begin by walking. Walk through the course several times for the first lesson. Your first week should be lessons at a walk. Make your horse turn very tight circles around the barrels. Teach him the concept of tight turns. If necessary, you may need to use the direct rein approach. In other words, you will neck rein the horse, and if he doesn't turn sharply enough, pull on the rein toward the side that you want to turn to put him in proper position. After making the turn around the third barrel, gallop your horse back to the finish line. In other words, you walk through the pattern until you have completed the turn around the third barrel. Then you gallop for all he's worth. This will teach your horse to spontaneously race for the finish line upon rounding the third barrel. After you've rounded the third barrel and gone to the finish line, stop your horse and wait until he is completely settled before you take him through the pattern again. One of the most common faults I see in barrel horses are horses that go sour on the run for home. After rounding the third barrel, they just don't give it their all. Frequently, they will start to speed up, and then they just hold back or slow down. Some of these horses slow down after rounding the third barrel. They anticipate a stop at the finish line, or they have been frustrated to wrath. In the book of Ephesians, God tells us, "Provoke not your children to wrath." You shouldn't do it to your horse either. How have these horses been frustrated? Just watch the next cloverleaf barrel race at your local horse show. After rounding the third barrel, many riders will begin to hit the horse, and some of them will hit the horse repeatedly. Many of these riders have developed a very professional-looking style of hitting the horse with the riding crop every other stride. The rider wants more speed out of the horse and uses the whip. What's the problem? The horse doesn't have a chance. If he runs faster, the rider continues using the whip just the same as if the horse had slowed down. The horse resents this unfair punishment. He doesn't run his best, and the rider continues this totally unjust punishment. Even if the horse runs his fastest, he continues to be punished. He slows down when the rider punishes him unjustly. He has been frustrated to wrath, or should I say, frustrated to resistance. Other riders automatically only hit the horse once or twice. But if the horse resents it, he'll slow down. A horse should only be punished for disobedience. If you tell him to speed up and he doesn't, then use the whip. But when he's already giving his best, don't punish him. Appreciate his effort. If during practice at slow speeds you cue your horse for more speed after rounding the third barrel, he'll soon learn to do it automatically and give you more speed at just the right time. If he's unjustly punished after turning the third barrel, he may run slower to the third barrel. He may run slower between the second and third barrel. After all, why hurry to unfair treatment? Prior to work at a trot, in the cloverleaf pattern, practice your horse at a walk, a trot, and a lope in small circles in which you are turning around nothing. In other words, practice circles small enough to make a tight turn around barrels. Start out at a walk. Later make these circles at a trot, and still later at a lope. As you speed up, you may need to use a wall to help you teach these sharper turns. It is also good to teach your horse to make small circles on the lunge line. Before you trot him in these small circles under saddle, trot him in small circles on a lunge line. Then you are ready to teach him to turn in the same manner under saddle. Trot your horse under saddle about 5 feet from and parallel to a fence or wall. Turn your horse toward the fence. He will have to turn or run into the fence. Believe me, he will make a very nice turn and reverse his direction. Turn again towards the wall and reverse direction. After several turns, the lesson is over. Repeat this lesson until you can turn your horse in a complete small circle, starting your turn toward the fence. Next, practice turning away from the fence in complete circles. This should be practiced at a lope after he does well at a trot. When your horse is responsive at a trot, begin turning at the lope. The lunge line is again helpful in teaching the horse to make small circles, this time at a lope. When your horse is responsive in turning at a trot, you are ready to trot around the cloverleaf barrel pattern. Before starting the pattern, stop your horse and let him stand for 10 seconds. If he has not settled down completely, let him stand for a full minute or more. Never allow him to go through the pattern without standing calmly first. If he's keyed up and excited, after he becomes calm, let him stand there for another minute or two. If you're at a horse show, you can't take this extra minute or two, but you can wait until he stands calmly for a moment. This will let your horse know that he's not going to go through the pattern until you tell him to do so. And never go through the pattern until he does stand calmly. Many barrel horses simply will not stand when taken into a ring. They lunge and rear and pull forward until their rider allows them to go through the pattern. This is the same for all timed events. Never allow your horse to go through the pattern until you tell him to. If necessary, tell him to back up and stop. Make a couple little sharp turns right on the spot. Do something to get his mind off of the coming event. And then stand, because the horse must stand before you allow him to go through the pattern. After your horse will do a perfect cloverleaf pattern at the trot, you are ready to do it at a slow lope. Make certain he will lope small circles by the fence first. In other words, you have to practice making small circles without any barrels, using the same techniques you used for practicing at a trot. There's no need to do it at speed until you are closer to being ready for the horse show ring. The horse doesn't need to practice running fast. He knows how to run fast. He needs to practice making turns while responding to your cues. When the horse will do the cloverleaf pattern at the slow lope, sometimes you should fool him. Sometimes you should turn the barrel and go off course. In other words, you should take the first barrel first, then maybe go to the third barrel, maybe round the third barrel and go to the second barrel, and take the second barrel twice, and then back to the third barrel and run for home. In other words, The horse will never know for certain what you are going to do next. He's not going to overrun a barrel because you may continue to circle the barrel for an extra circle around that barrel. This will stop your horse from anticipating what he's going to do. He will be less likely to get excited and overrun a barrel. Practice turns at speed by a fence before practicing running the barrels at speed. You should practice until your horse is proficient making turns without barrels before you try running the barrels at speed. When you decide to run the barrels at speed, gradually increase your speed during a couple weeks. Sometimes still do the pattern at a walk, sometimes still do the pattern at a jog, and yet other times do the pattern at a slow lope. Don't always do the pattern at speed, or that's the only way your horse will want to do the pattern and you may start to lose control. Now, what should you do if your horse has a problem of knocking down barrels? Usually that's because he's not given enough space in the pocket or the area between himself and the barrel when he first starts to make the turn. In other words, he's too close to the barrel when he's starting to make the turn. And you need to encourage him to stay an extra couple feet away from the barrel at the start of the turn as he turns the barrel. As he turns the barrel, he will come closer to the barrel. That's why you have to keep him just a little bit farther away at the beginning of his turn. You will have to find out just how much of a pocket you will need to leave for your horse to make the turn around the barrel. If you have difficulty, set up a small pylon or set a tire in the pocket area in order that your horse can't crowd the barrel. Also, it's very important that you take the first barrel in the pattern properly. If your horse gets slightly out of proper position on the first barrel, he's going to be out of position for taking the second barrel properly, which will cause him to be out of position for taking the third barrel properly. In other words, make certain that your horse takes the first barrel properly. Don't worry about the second and third barrels until you get there. Set your horse up to take the first barrel properly. Now you will need to experiment as to the proper starting position for your horse. Some horses will be better starting farther to the left or farther to the right than other horses. In other words, they will be able to do a faster pattern and make a better turn by starting in a slightly different position on the starting line. You get your horse running and go across the starting line at a different angle depending upon whether you are to the left or to the right. Running on different types of ground will also make a slight difference as to the proper position for you to start your pattern. This is something you will have to check out with your horse and with the arena's conditions. Once your horse has learned the cloverleaf barrel race, you don't need to practice between shows. Once he's got it down pat, don't work on something he already knows. You'll spoil him. He can go sour. He'll get tired of it. At home, practice everything but going through a cloverleaf pattern. Now, you can practice turning around barrels, but you should put the barrels at different distances. You could put the barrels so close together that the fastest he can go through the course is at a trot. You could even try setting up four barrels. In other words, you might put the barrels in any configuration possible. One idea would be to put three barrels 15 feet apart. He could possibly do a very slow lope through this pattern, but that would be about his top speed for it. In other words, he wouldn't be able to gallop at full speed. Put variety into the course. Don't let your horse know what's going to happen next. Practice barrels at all different distances. Sometimes take the barrels out of order. Practice at home going at slow rates of speed. You don't need to practice running fast. Now, you will have to run your horse fast a few times through the course when you are first teaching the horse. After he's learned it at the walk, the trot, and the slow lope, you can try the pattern at speed. But once he learns the pattern at speed, you don't need to keep practicing speed just for the sake of speed. You practice making proper turns, and you practice having the horse respond to your cues. I once won a barrel race with a horse that had been trained for reining. He hadn't been trained for barrel racing. He was entered in two barrel races and won both of them. He went into the arena and he won. How could he win? Because he listened to my cues and did exactly what I told him to do. If your horse is trained to obey you, as opposed to just running wildly through this pattern, he will save many valuable seconds or tenths of a second. A few hundredths of a second can easily be the difference between winning and losing. Your horse will save time if he has been trained to respond to your legs. You should move him with your legs. He should move away from your legs. If you can give a leg cue as opposed to a rein cue to correct or position him for a barrel, you will save time. If your horse is going to come too close to a barrel, you can use your leg to keep him away from the barrel. This will save time. It will not only save time because you're in the proper position, but if you were to correct him with the reins, it could cause the horse to slow down a little bit or put his head out of position. Particularly if you had to use the direct rein method. The horse can't run at full speed around the barrels. He must slow in order to stay close to the barrel and save time. One good exercise is to trot the horse through the barrel pattern, but slow to a walk just as you come to the turn for each barrel. Another good exercise is to do a slow lope through the barrel pattern, but at each barrel you should slow the horse to a trot, sometimes slow him to a walk. After turning around the barrel, you should speed the horse back to the slow lope. Now, it's very important that you give yourself plenty of room beside the barrel when you are first starting the turn. Leave a pocket area of perhaps 4 feet between the horse and the barrel when starting the turn. As you complete the turn, come closer and closer to the barrel. This will help teach your horse to turn in such a manner that he doesn't tip over the barrel. When you run the barrel at speed, your horse will be a lot less likely to charge or crowd the barrel. Now, if you're having a problem with your horse not turning a barrel properly, you can set up tires or pylons beside the barrel and out away from the barrel, forcing your horse to turn fairly close to the barrel, but not too close to the barrel because of the other tires or pylons. In other words, the tire beside the barrel causes the horse to leave some distance between himself and the barrel, and the other tires or pylons set out away from the barrel ensures that the horse has to turn before he gets out too far from the barrel. You are best, though, to teach your horse to respond to you. These things can be used as an aid if you have a real problem, but you really should teach the horse to be responsive to you. Now, if your horse is turning wide on barrels, in other words, he starts to make the turn and he goes wide and he doesn't turn close enough to the barrel, don't allow him to continue through the course if this is during training. In the show ring, keep going unless the habit is so bad that you need to correct him on the spot. If he's done poorly enough that you can't possibly place, you still might want to do this in the show ring so that it doesn't happen again. What you should do is make him circle that barrel a second time. Don't stop your lope. Turn your horse right back close to the barrel and insist that he turn the barrel properly. If he doesn't turn the barrel properly the second time, make a third circle around that barrel before continuing on the course. This will teach your horse that he must turn the barrel correctly or he will have to do it over again. Upon completion of the course, don't always bring your horse to a complete stop, or he may decide to slow down just before the finish line because he is anticipating this quick stop. If possible, let him run for a ways before slowing him, and preferably slow him gradually or slow him by making a turn. In other words, cross the finish line in a gallop, make a turn to the left or to the right, and then slow him. All that remains for you to do is simply practice. Practice until your horse is very proficient at barrel racing. Once he has learned what he should do, don't keep practicing the pattern at speed. Only practice those things your horse needs to improve upon. If you practice over and over again, he'll get tired of it and he may get sloppy. Another very popular Gymkhana event is pole bending. 6 poles are placed 20 feet apart in a straight line. Now, there are a couple ways to go through a pole bending course, depending upon the show and the rules of the association under which you are showing. One of the methods is to run past all 6 poles. At the 6th pole, you do a turn around the 6th pole and bend or weave in between poles number 5 and 6, and then you simply weave in and out of the poles until you get back to the 1st pole. You turn all the way around the 1st pole and weave back through the course. At the 6th pole, you then turn around it and you race back past all the poles to the finish line. Now, another method or pattern for pole bending is to start out from the finish line. Weave in between all 6 poles on your way through the course, do a complete circle around pole number 6, and weave your way back through all the poles, back through all the course, to the finish line. To train the horse for pole bending, you should start out at a walk. Walk your horse through the pattern just as you would if you were teaching him to barrel race. Now, the horse should have been taught to do the types of turns that he will need to make in pole bending. If not, you can give him some of the same training that was suggested for a barrel horse. After the horse thoroughly understands the pattern at a walk, you can proceed to the trot and later to a slow lope. You don't do the pattern at speed until the horse can perform the pattern perfectly at the slow lope. Even after he can do it well at speed, you still want to practice it sometimes at the slow lope. The pole bending patterns are shown in the illustrated textbook. Also in the textbook, you will find the pattern for the keyhole race. In the keyhole race, the horse races approximately 100 feet from the starting line to a keyhole. Actually, the keyhole is a circle that is 20 feet in diameter. One end of the circle is broken. In other words, the horse races through the broken end of the circle. There is a gap in the circle where it is broken, about 4 feet wide. There are two parallel lines drawn from the circle, the break in the circle, toward the horse. The lines are exactly 4 feet apart and extend for about 10 feet from the circle or more, depending on the rules of the association. The horse gallops between these lines, does a sliding stop, does a roll back or a spin in the circle, and after he turns around, he races back to the finish line. The horse that does this in the fastest possible time is the winner. To teach your horse to perform the keyhole race, you should walk him through the pattern just as you would with barrel racing or pole bending. Stop him, give him the cue to turn on the hindquarters, and once he has turned, he should gallop back to the finish line. You can later practice this at a trot, and still later at the slow lope. The key to winning keyhole races is knowing when to tell your horse to stop, and to have him trained to do a fast turn. See the reining tape for teaching a sliding stop, a roll back, and a pivot. Usually a roll back or a pivot on the hindquarters is best. Your horse will have to learn to turn quickly, and once he gets the idea of what is necessary, he'll love to do this. You can also use a wall to teach your horse to do a fast turn. Gallop your horse parallel to a wall. Tell him to stop. When he stops, turn him into the wall and gallop straight back along the wall. This will help teach the horse to do a roll back or to do a quick turn on his hindquarters. You need to practice with your horse, and you also need to determine the exact point where you should give the command to do the sliding stop. You may wish to give the command right at the point where he begins to enter the keyhole, that is in the 10-foot approach, or you may find that you should give the command when he has progressed 5 feet down the keyhole. You want the stop to take place in the middle of the keyhole. If you don't stop your horse quick enough, he will be disqualified because he will go right through the keyhole. If you stop him too quickly, you will be disqualified because he won't be able to turn around without going out of bounds. He'll still be in the entryway of the keyhole. So the whole key is to find out how far it takes for your horse to stop when he's running at speed, and then give the cue to stop at exactly that position. It is also very important that your horse stop consistently well. In other words, you must train him to stop every time consistently. If you have difficulty teaching your horse to do a quick stop, canter him and then turn him towards the wall and tell him to stop. Believe me, he'll stop. Or you can canter him towards the wall and just give the cue to stop. Now this wall must not look like something he could possibly jump. Just practice and teach the course at a slow rate of speed. Teach the horse the principles of responding to you, and you will have a horse that wins in keyhole. You can be a consistent winner in most game events simply by using your head. Let's take the example of a fun event, the balloon race. The balloon race is not really a race at all, but a contest, with the winner being the only contestant whose balloon is not broken by other contestants. All contestants are mounted and have a balloon tied to them. Generally, it is tied to the back, sometimes to the arm. Most everyone is very busy trying to reach out and break everyone else's balloon. Use strategy. Don't go after someone's balloon unless you are confident that you can grab it and break it. While you're busy trying to break someone else's balloon, someone may come from behind and break yours. The best horse for the balloon race is one that has had a lot of training for reining or similar events. If someone is after your balloon, make the horse run at speed towards the center of the arena. Signal your horse to do a sliding stop. The pursuer will fly right past you. Other effective maneuvers are spins or pivots on the hindquarters and rollbacks. You should try to prevent anyone from getting into a position to break your balloon. That's the most important fact. You can't have your balloon broken or you can't win. Only go after someone else's balloon when your balloon is safe. You should do a figure eight at a lope or put your horse through a barrel racing pattern without the barrels if you need to in order to escape. With accuracy in the control of your horse, you are in a much better position to outmaneuver others and also to break their balloons. Most of your competitors will be riding high-strung game horses or pleasure mounts that they have brought out to their local show. With a better trained horse, you can win the events that often seem to have a lot of luck involved. Musical bags or musical tires. This event goes under a number of names and is played very similar to musical chairs. Luck is involved, but a well-trained horse will have you placing consistently. The rules are the same as with musical chairs, except that everyone is on horseback, and when the music stops, the riders dismount and lead their horse to a bag or a tire or whatever is placed in the center of the arena. Every time the music stops, there is one less bag or one less tire. The contestant who doesn't make it to a bag or tire is eliminated. Only the first contestant to make it to a bag or tire is counted safe. Generally, the horses lope or canter around the bags. Therefore, the winning contestants will be those whose horses will do a quick stop on cue and lead as fast as the rider can run. This course in horse training will help you teach your horse to do quick stops and to obey you. Now you give the signal to your horse to stop. While your horse is still stopping, you should dismount just like a roper dismounts. He jumps off the horse while it is still stopping. You can swing into one stirrup and then hop off and be running when you hit the ground. Take your horse's reins and have your horse trained to run beside you. You shouldn't have to pull on your horse for him to follow you. Practice trotting with your horse. If necessary, use a small whip on his hindquarters to make him keep up with you. Then gradually increase your speed until your horse will follow you when you are running full speed. Once your horse has been taught to do a quick stop and to lead as fast as you can run, you are in a position to consistently win in musical bags. Now, any type of gymkhana can be won by teaching the horse the maneuvers that are required in that event one at a time. In other words, you don't go out and practice the whole pattern. You practice the turn, or you practice the stop, and you can practice these things at a slower rate of speed and gradually increase the speed until your horse is performing the required movements at the fastest possible speed. This is how to win Gymkhana. Many people get very concerned about their horse's leads during Gymkhana. Don't worry about them. All good horses should be taught to change leads on command. However, with the Gymkhana horse, you will probably want the horse to switch leads on his own. If you've trained him for reining, fine, you can tell him to switch leads and he will do it very effectively. But if you practice these patterns at a slow rate of speed and gradually increase the speed, your horse will learn to switch leads at the proper places to go through the pattern in the fastest possible time. You should cue your horse if your horse will switch leads on command. But if you haven't trained your horse to switch leads on cue, he can still learn to switch his leads at the appropriate places. How to train the cutting horse. Before attempting to train the cutting horse, make certain that you have seen several top cutting horses in action. In other words, make certain you know how a good cutting horse should cut cattle. It is also very helpful if you can ride some cutting horses, good ones that have been trained by different trainers. This isn't always possible. But if it is possible, by all means, ride some good cutting horses. The cutting horse should be able to enter a herd of cattle and cut out whatever head of cattle that the rider decides upon. From there, the cutting horse takes over. Without disturbing the herd, the horse takes the head of cattle from the rest of the herd and keeps it away from the herd. The cow may run from one side to the other, may dart, dash, but no matter what the cow does, the horse is one step ahead of the cow. The horse turns the cow back. To begin training a cutting horse, you must start with a horse you have already trained to switch leads on command, to do a sliding stop, to do rollbacks and spins or pivots on the haunches, and in general to just be a well-trained horse. In other words, the horse should be trained for reining and should be an all-around good horse. The horse doesn't need to have the exact touches of a reining horse, but the horse should understand reining. To begin, find an old cow and just follow it in a large pasture or large corral. All you want to do is teach your horse that you're going to follow this cow. You may drive it around the pasture or around the pen. Now the horse may catch on to what you're doing the very first lesson. Other horses may take a real interest a little later. Some may not take a real interest for a couple weeks. You want the horse to think of cutting as play. If he's going to be any kind of cutting horse at all, he's going to have to enjoy his work. Try not to make the lessons too long. After the horse seems to have taken an interest in driving the cow ahead of him or following the cow, you are ready for the second phase of his training. It would be a good idea to put some feed out in a large pasture. Practice driving this cow or a couple cows one at a time away from the feed. Remember, you only drive one cow away at a time. But you don't want cattle that are going to be extremely quick. You want something a little bit slow, something the horse can handle. You don't want the cow to get away from the horse. You have the horse keep a specific head of cattle away from the grain. This makes it unnecessary for you to have a turnback man. Now, if you were going to train in another fashion, you would take this old cow that you were following, and you would have another rider be in the position that you were driving this cow towards. He would turn the cow back, and your horse would try to prevent the cow from getting through. In other words, he would attempt to turn it back to the turnback man. It is very good if you can try to keep the cow away from some grain or away from a herd. The basic thing you are going to do now is practice. And it will probably take a couple years of practice to get a really top-notch cutting horse. You must cue the horse with your reins and with your legs to follow the cow and head the cow off. It is much better to use a large pasture as opposed to a small corral. You want the horse to cut the cattle or turn the cattle back himself. You don't want him to use a wall to turn the cow back. In other words, you don't want the cow to run all the way across and turn back when it gets to the wall, and then run back to the other side and turn back when it gets to the wall again. The horse should get just an inkling ahead or an inkling of an advantage on the cow and turn the cow back. The horse has to turn the cow back on his own without your help. One of the very best things you can do for a cutting horse is to train him in a very large pasture. If a cow gets away from him, make him run the whole length of the pasture or whole width of the pasture to catch up with that cow and to bring the cow back. This will teach him not to let a cow get away. When the horse seems to have caught on to what he's supposed to do, you must gradually start not using your reins and your legs. Let the horse take over. When he's trained, he has to do it all by himself. Now, if the horse is going to lose the cow or become at a disadvantage, use your legs to speed the horse up, or use your legs to turn the horse, or use your reins to turn the horse. But you must keep the horse in good position at all times, and soon he will learn to do it all on his own. He has to do it on his own in competition. Now, every time you tell the horse that he is no longer to cut the cow, you must use a signal. There must be a signal to tell the horse to stop. You don't just pull back on the reins to stop. The best method to tell the horse to stop is the common signal used on cutting horses. The rider generally pulls back on the reins and with his free hand pinches the horse on the neck right in front of the withers. He pulls back on the reins while he uses his hand on the horse's neck right in front of the withers at the same time. He takes his hand and just sort of squeezes. Actually, if you just put your hand on the horse and squeeze, it will tend to tell him to lay off the cow, but it's a good idea to pull back on the reins and use your hand at the same time to tell the horse, that's enough on this cow. It also shows the judge that you have obviously told the horse to quit cutting the cow. Then you can go get another cow. You don't start out by cutting cattle out of a herd. You first have the horse follow a cow, then you teach him to head off a cow, and then you teach him to take one out of the herd. If you taught him to take one out of the herd first, what would he do with it? He'd probably lose it, and that would be bad for him. By your guidance in the herd, the horse will be able to figure out which cow you have decided to cut out of the herd. The horse should walk quietly into the herd and very casually move a cow out from the rest of the herd without disturbing the herd. Now, he could possibly divide the herd in half, but he doesn't cause a disturbance to the herd. Now, he would only cut the herd in half with his body. The horse would cut the herd in half, just minimally, so to speak, take out a cow, and the herd would then be one herd again. He doesn't send the cattle running every which way. He very casually cuts out a cow. He also might wish to cut a cow out from the edge of a herd. You're going to have to learn how to read cattle to figure out which cow would give you what type of play for your horse. Remember, in the arena, in a cutting competition, you're only going to have 2.5 minutes to show your horse at his very best advantage. You'll probably want to work a couple cows, but you don't want to spend all your time trying to get a cow out of the herd. You're going to have to show your horse doing some good cutting, getting some good play out of a cow, and showing himself off to his best advantage. In competition, there will be a couple men to hold the herd in their end of the arena, and there will also be a couple turnback men to assist you in working your cow. A diagram showing what an arena situation might look like will be found in the illustrated textbook. After you cut the cattle out of the herd, it's the turnback man's job to keep the cattle coming towards you, back towards the herd, rather than just running to the far end of the arena. Now, generally, the cow's going to want to come back into the herd, but it's the turnback man's job to see to it that the cow just doesn't run off to the other end of the arena, but keeps coming back towards you. A cutting horse can be a real pleasure to ride, but you're going to have to make quite a few wet saddle blankets before you've got a really good one. But don't overdo any one lesson. This should be fun for the horse. If he's not working well, keep him at it, though, until he does work well, and you will turn out a good cutting horse. How to train your horse for calf roping. First, of course, you should teach the horse to do a good sliding stop, and he should be taught to be fairly responsive to the reins. One of the first things you should do is acquaint your horse with a rope. Fasten the rope to your saddle and carry it with you for a ride or two. Next, you are ready to just drop the rope to the ground from the saddle, leaving part of it fastened to your saddle horn. When your horse is accustomed to you picking the rope back up after dropping it to the ground, you can try throwing it straight out to the side. Now, don't swing the loop. Just toss the rope underhanded out to the side and then slowly pull the rope back. After the horse will allow you to toss the rope out and pull it back in from all directions, you can try swinging the loop. Now, at first, the sound may bother him just a little bit. He may be afraid of it, or perhaps the sight of it may cause him some concern. Just take your time, and gradually he will get used to the rope. Now, something that might be advantageous is to give your horse some grain while you rub the rope all over his body. Toss it around the stall or the area he is eating in, and just let him see that the rope isn't going to hurt him. Now, the horse should be confined in some manner while you do this. In other words, you don't want the horse running off to the other end of the stall or the other end of a corral. You want the horse fastened at the end of the stall that you are in. You should have a halter and a lead rope on the horse as well as his bridle. Or he should have a saddle and a bridle, and someone should have hold of the reins. The horse should be fastened or kept in a position in some manner. Now, once your horse is accustomed to the rope, it's a good idea to teach him how to handle the rope before you ever get a cow or a calf on the other end. You should use a neck rope or neck strap. This is simply a piece of rope, a strap or a chain, I prefer a piece of rope, around the horse's neck. The neck rope completely encircles your horse's neck. You put your lariat under the neck rope. That is between the neck rope and your horse's neck. Pass it through the neck rope and fasten your lariat to the saddle horn. Now, if you go out to the end of your lariat and walk off to your horse's right, this will cause your lariat to pull on the neck rope, which will cause the neck rope to exert pressure on the left side of your horse's neck, which will cause your horse to turn and face you. Even in competition, you may use this neck rope. The neck rope prevents the horse from turning and running away, dragging off the calf. The horse has to face the calf. If he goes to turn away, the neck rope puts pressure on him in the one direction, and if he goes to turn in the other direction, the lariat puts pressure on his neck. Now, you should go to the end of the neck rope and walk to one side, and then to the other side, teaching your horse to always face the end of the rope. If your horse starts to come towards you, you should say back, and if possible, you may need to rig up a jerk line. A jerk line is a second rope which you can use to pull on your horse's bit or to pull on some type of noseband or hackamore which is on your horse. This causes your horse to back and put pressure on the rope. Now, how you rig the jerk line is to thread this rope through the fork in your saddle. Bring it out in front of your saddle and then tie it to your reins, or bring the rope farther down beneath the bridle and fasten it to some type of nose piece or hackamore which you have on your horse. Now, all you need to do is jerk on the jerk line to put pressure on either the bit or your horse's nose to get him to back. You need to teach your horse to keep pressure on the rope. You should give him a little slack and insist that he back up to keep pressure on that rope. When you run to the side, your horse should turn to face the rope. Once your horse will do these things, you are ready to rope a calf. Before roping a calf, though, it's a good idea to rope a bag of sand, or at least appear to rope a bag of sand, and have this bag of sand tied to a fence post with another rope. By appearing to rope a bag of sand, I mean you could toss your rope and maybe have an assistant put the rope over the bag of sand. Or you could rope the bag of sand, doesn't really matter. Insist that your horse drag the bag of sand about 5 or 6 feet, perhaps even farther, until there is more pressure on the bag, more resistance. More pressure will come when he reaches the end of the rope, which fastens the bag to the fence post. Now you should time this dragging back of the sandbag to the point where you bend over the bag. In other words, you should get off your horse with a jerk line, or with your voice insist that he drag the bag backwards. Now you don't want the sandbag to be too heavy, but you want him to have to drag maybe 25 pounds or so. If you had 100 or 200 pounds of sand, you might teach the horse to drag a calf, and you don't want to do that. But you want him to drag the sandbag, and then you should bend over the sandbag just as the rope, which is fastened to the post, becomes taut. This will teach your horse that when you bend over the calf, that he needs to keep the rope taut, but he doesn't need to continue backing. A good exercise prior to actually roping calves is to gallop your horse, tell him to stop just after you throw your rope, and dismount while he is still stopping. Insist that your horse back up until the rope is taut. You run to the end of the rope, grab hold of it, put real tension on it, make it taut, lean into it, and then move around to one side and then to the other, teaching your horse to keep himself facing towards the end of the rope. Now, the first time you rope a calf, you don't want the calf moving. The calf should be standing still or walking. Walk your horse up fairly close to the calf and rope the calf. Remain on your horse's back and insist that your horse always face the calf. You can guide him and teach him how to work the rope. After you've roped several calves in this manner, you may be ready to rope a calf that is moving at a slow rate of speed, perhaps at a slow trot. You want small calves or calves that are very slow when you are first starting. It's good to have an assistant to throw and tie the calf and then release the calf for the first few times in order that you don't have to dismount. Shortly, you will be able to dismount and tie your own calves and then release your horse. You should go back to your horse and tell him to come forward with your legs to release the pressure he's putting on the rope. Until you give him the cue to release the pressure, he should keep the rope taut. With practice, you can teach him to follow calves. In other words, after you rope some calves that are moving a little bit faster, you can practice work in a chute. The horse must stand in the chute until you give the cue for him to go forward. When you tell him to go forward, you use your reins to teach him to follow the calf. After practice, you won't even have to guide him. He will automatically follow the calf. He should stay just behind the calf and just to the calf's left. He should put you in a good position to throw your rope. If he ever goes to stop after your rope has been thrown, kick him in the ribs to keep him going for a moment. He must not stop until you give the cue. As soon as the rope is over the calf's neck, you should start to dismount. When he feels your weight go into the left stirrup, this should be his cue to stop. With practice, he will stop when you put your weight into the left stirrup. In other words, you should cue him with your reins as you step into your left stirrup. It won't take any time at all, and he will do a sliding stop on his own when he merely feels your weight in the left stirrup. This is what you should work for. Once you've accomplished this, and your horse will work the rope, you have a calf roping horse. It will take practice, but he will learn. You can use the information on this tape and the other tapes in the world's most complete course in horse training to train any horse for any Western event or activity. You can also use this information to train the same horse or other horses for English, dressage, jumping, or any horse activity that you wish to participate in. This section is completed.